The 13th shloka. Today we will continue the discussion starting with the 14th shloka, which we will read.
Prashantatma vigatabihi brahmachari vrate sthitaha manasamyamya machitto yukta asita matparaha.
Now in the previous shloka, after talking about the control of the prana, the breathing, and also the way one should be seated, how one should place the body, the head, the neck, all in one line, all these details, after speaking all of them, Krishna now comes in this shloka, the way how the mind has to be controlled. What should be the condition of the mind when a person is trying to do meditation? That is the question. Prashanta Atma. Atma here means the mind, not the Sachidananda Atma. This is the mind. The mind should be Prashanta Atma, should be tranquil. Now, how you make a mind tranquil? Obviously, it is by removing all the worries. When you can get rid of all the worries from the mind, then the mind can be tranquil. Now, I can use any method to get rid of all these worries, perhaps. I can simply say, as long as life continues, various situations will be there. If we say that after removing all problems only, then I can start meditation, that can never going to happen. Because always some worry or other will be there in the mind. For example, if somebody wants to get into the ocean and take a bath, and if he wants to wait for all the waves to subside before he gets into the ocean, he can never get into the ocean. So in spite of situations, I must learn to meditate. That is how I should practice myself. And I will take up all worries perhaps later. During the time of meditation, I am going to say all my worries are going to be out of me. That is how one should perhaps start. So remove all worries. And if we say that, we will find it very difficult because it's not that easy to get rid of all worries. Then people can try perhaps other method. They may say, okay, I will imagine that my Ishta Devata, whether it is Ganesha, whether it is Rama, Krishna, whatever may be the Ishta Devata, and put all the worries to that Ishvara. Ishvaraya Samarpana. So give all the worries to the Lord. Oh Lord, you are the one who can save me. So all my worries, I am going to leave it with you. You take care of them. I am going to now meditate. You know, people can try to do like that also. Or they can postpone the worries. Or in fact, for this Nididhyasanam, that is the Vedantic meditation, we have another method, which is the real method. What is the real method? We have to remember that all the problems that we face in day-to-day life, they are all belonging to the anatma, the body, which is mithya. I, the atma, am ever free from problems. That is the understanding one should have. I, the atma, I have to disown the body. I, the Atma, the Chaitanyam, am ever free from worries or problems. All problems and worries are all at the body level, for the Anatma level. So Anatma will always have problems. In fact, Anatma is problem personified. Anatma means body, the body-mind complex. It is problem personified. I should not identify with them. That is how one should develop that kind of thinking. So by Atma, Anatma, Viveka, by differentiating between Atma, the Chaitanyam, the I, and also the body, Anatma and the world, or by offering the worries at the feet of my Ishta Devata, or whatever Lord I can think of, or postponing them, somehow or the other, the mind should be made to be quiet. That is the instruction here. So mind should be made quiet. And what method we use? It's our choice, actually, among the various methods. And one should be, regardless of the method, one should strive to be prashanta, prashantatma, should be tranquil. Then vigata bihi. Bihi means fear. One should be free from fear. Free from fear means free from anxiety, free from agitation. So Krishna says, vigata bihi. One should not be frightened because achedyoyam, adahyoyam, akledo, asoshayevacha, all those things we have seen earlier. So if I am not frightened over the Atma, But I am only frightened over, some people might say, no, I am not at all frightened at all. I am never frightened about Atma. I am only frightened about the Anatma, the body. But we should also understand, Anatma can never be protected anyway. Can we think, for example, even if we have a large number of doctors who can all try to protect my body, none of them can be done if Prarabdha takes over. It's not possible at all. If all doctors can protect all the bodies, then perhaps there should be no death at all. So Anatma, the body, can never be protected 100%. And so Vikadabihi, allow the body to have its course. It is driven by Prarabdha. We cannot change it. So allow the body to have its course. And Brahmachari Vrate Sthitaha, remaining in the vow of Brahmacharya. Brahmacharya Vrata means what? It is a lifestyle which one is committed to. That is a lifestyle where a person is committed to what? Shastra. The learning of the Shastras. Student must be interested only in learning Shastra only and should not give importance to anything else. That is Brahmachari Pratesthitaha. So Brahmachari is one for whom Shastram only is important. So also for a spiritual aspirant, also for a spiritual student also, all others are not important, all others are only secondary. So Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, these are the only things that are primary for a Vedantic student. Not that one should give them up, but one does not give importance to them, extra importance to them at all. Whatever is to be done has to be done. But one should not give indulge in extra importance for those things. So committed to the Shastras, Brahmachari Vrate Sthitaha. Okay. Then Manaha Samyamya. Samyamya, having withdrawn the mind. Manaha Samyamya, having withdrawn the mind from the entire world of objects. From the entire world of objects and happenings. And thereafter, the person should apply the mind. So first step is, having withdrawn the mind. One has to withdraw the mind from all the worries, all the things outside, extrovert, all the things should be removed, and thereafter a person should try to apply the mind. Here, the actual meditation is coming only now. Up to this is called Antaranga Sadhana up to this point. Now only the meditation is going to come. They are all preparations only. The mind has been withdrawn from the external objects. And the mind now is available with me. It is under my control. Then I can start meditation. And then what should I do with this mind when it is available to us? Then Krishna says, Machittaha. The mind must be fixed on me. When you now have the mind prepared with respect to all the worries, with only one thinking, and only that thinking should be there all the time, and that mind should be fixed on me. That is the meditation. This is the meditation which Krishna prescribes. So, Dhyana Swarupam is what? Fixing the mind on me, the Lord. That is the Dhyana Swarupa. Now, we have to understand clearly, what does Krishna mean by the word me? When he says fixing the mind on me, what does he mean by me? Does it mean the Radha Krishna? Or the Shankha Chakra Gadadhari Krishna? Or Murali Krishna? Or Venugopala Krishna? What Krishna? We have already seen this earlier in the beginning itself, in the beginning of this chapter, that Krishna is not talking about Upasana here. They are all part of Upasana. If somebody has to meditate upon Krishna in a particular form, that is not Vedantic meditation. That is Upasana. That is not Nididhyasanam at all. In Upasana alone, Saguna Ishvara Dhyanam is prescribed. One can think of the Ishvara with all his attributes only in Saguna Dhyanam. Upasana is that. Upasana also requires Samam Kaya Shiro Grivam. All that prescriptions are there for Upasana also. A person, how they should sit, what asana they should choose, what should be the environment. All those things are there for Saguna Upasana also. And there also there is Sucho Deshe, Pranayama, all those things. Clean environment, a person should be in a clean environment. And he has to do pranayama properly. All those things are there even in Saguna Upasana also. Then what is the difference between the Saguna Upasana and this Nididhyasana? That is this step. In the case of upasana, saguna upasana, the person puts his mind on one's ishta devata in the form of whatever form is familiar to him or favorite to him, like Rama, Krishna, whatever it is. But in nididhyasana, the person will not think of any of them at all. The person will only think of Brahman, the Chaitanyam, which is nothing but I, myself. That is what he will think. If at all he thinks of any God also, he will think that God is himself. I am Rama, I am Krishna, I am Virat. That is the kind of thinking the person will have. Mayeva sakalam jatam, mayi sarvam pratishtitam, mayi sarvam layam yati. That's what Krishna said earlier. Ahamannam, ahamannam, ahamannam. Ahamannado, ahamannado, ahamannadaha. Aham vrikshasya reriva. These are all Upanishad vakyas. These are all said in the Upanishads. All Upanishads declare that I am the one which is the inner content of the whole thing. That is how this person meditates. So, Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyam Nijantar Kadam. The way Acharya says in Dakshinamurti Stotram, this person thinks of himself as the personification of the Lord, the ultimate. So, in the case of Nididhyasana, the Lord is nothing but the Nirgunam Brahma. Nirguna Chaitanyam, which is nothing but I, the Atma. The capital I, the Atma. So, Machittaha means Atma Chittaha, fixing the mind on the self, on oneself. And also, Mat Paraha. Here also, the word Mat. Mat means Atma. Atma, Atma Paraha. The person should be Atma Paraka. His goal in life also should be Atma. For such person who is a Vedantic seeker, his goal also should be Atma. He should be Atma Paraka. Atma is the object of meditation, the destination in life. That is how one should think. He does not want anything else in life. So, this is the Dhyana Swarupam. This is this aspect of Dhyana Swarupam, which Krishna discusses. And how? Yuktaha. Person should meditate with an integrated mind. He should be an integrated person meditating with an integrated mind. So with an integrated mind, a meditator should be seated properly, thinking of the Atma, committed to the Atma, fulfilling all these conditions said above. So even though Dhyana Swarupam is said here, Krishna is only hinting on Dhyana Swarupam here. He is going to elaborate it more later. Now we'll go to the next shloka, shloka 15. We will read.
Yunjannevam sadatmanam yogi niyata manasaha shantim nirvana paramam matsantabhi adigachati.
So Krishna here says the Dhyana Palam, he mentions it here in a very nutshell, in a concise manner, he is mentioning the Dhyana Palam. Actually, he is going to talk about Dhyana Palam elaborately later. Here he is only hinting. That is why actually we said that up to sloka number 15, the topic is Antaranga Sadhana. In the last lecture, that's what we said. So here, what is the Palam Krishna is mentioning? What is the Palam? What is the benefit of this sadhana?
Yogi evam sada atmanam yunjanna. Yogi evam sada atmanam yunjanna.
So yogi. Yogi means here the meditator. Meditator means what meditator? Not the upasaka yogi. This is a nididhyasaka yogi. So he is a nididhyasaka, a person who is indulged in the Vedantic meditation, that yogi. Actually, we have told earlier that the word yogi has got various meanings according to the context. We have to understand the meaning properly. In Bhagavad Gita, there are several places, yoga, yogi, they will all come in several places, but each place we have to understand the proper context. In the Karma Yoga context, yogi means a Karma Yogi. If it is Karma Yoga context, he is a Karma Yogi. In Nididhyasana context, it is Nididhyasaka Yogi. In Jnana Yoga, it is a Jnana Yogi. So in another context, yogi is Parama Yogi. That is, he is no more sadhaka at all. He has already reached the goal. So yogi takes different meanings depending on the context. So other yogis are all sadhaka yogis, whereas this person, a parama yogi, he is a siddha yogi, he is a siddha purushaha. So different places will have different meaning. Here he is a sadhaka yogi practicing what sadhana? Nididhyasana. So this person is now practicing Nididhyasanam. He has already completed Shravanam and Mananam. He is now in Nididhyasanam. So such a meditator, what should he do? Evam sada atmanam yunjanna. Sada atmanam yunjanna. Thus fixing his mind. We have to carefully, we should note. Atma here means mind. It is not Sachidananda Atma. It is mind. Evam. Evam means similar manner. In the similar manner. As was said earlier. Atmanam yunjand. Fixing the mind. So thus a meditator should fix the mind. Evam. In this manner. And when should he practice meditation? Sada. There is nothing like a fixed time he should do meditation. Nididhyasanam. This we are talking about Vedantic meditation, not the regular Upasana meditation. In Vedantic meditation, he should be practicing it sada, all the time. And how can he do that? This is clear because Brahmachari Vrate Sthitaha, that's what we said earlier, as was told in the previous shloka, this person is committed to this. For him, this is the only goal. He is a mukshu, mumukshutvam. We already told mumukshutvam means the craving desire to gain moksha. That is all the only goal. All other things are all intermediary goals. They are not important to me. I may go through them. That is fine. But my ultimate goal is not any one of them. So he is brahmacharya vrate sthitaha. So he is committed to this. And so he gets lot of time also, because this person, there is nothing else for him to worry about. He is only thinking of this all the time. He doesn't look at all kinds of junk magazines, biographies of all kinds of people. He is not interested in any of those. As far as he is concerned, in life, the only thing to achieve is this. So he need not even watch TV or any of those things. No talking with materialistic people. What is more than needed? Of course, when he is in the locomotion of day-to-day life, he will definitely come across people and situations, all those things he has to come through also. But he will spend only that much time required for dealing with that particular transaction, and that's it. He is not going to be just stuck to that thing at all. So if a person becomes Brahmachari Vrate Sthitaha, this person will also find lot of time, because all the time is only for Atma Vichara. Inquiry about the self. Actually, many of our times in our life is really wasted in several material things only. So be honest, time management, if you really sit back and make a list of what all things we were engaged in a day, if we just make an analysis to ourselves and make a list of what are the things we are engaged in a day, we will really find out most of them could have been avoided. Most of them would have been unnecessary. We would have definitely found out. So sada yunjanna. Sada, all the time, this person is fixing his mind only on this goal. And we have to understand here again, as often as possible for a grahastha. If the person is a sannyasi or a brahmachari, for him there is nothing else to do, so he has to be there all the time in this thought. Whereas for grahasthas, who have got other duties and responsibilities, for them we cannot tell them that they should be here in this all the time, so as often as possible. After fulfilling the responsibilities of a grahastha ashrama. For a brahmachari and sannyasi, of course, sada should literally be taken as all the time. So other than basic activities of life, taking food, taking snana, taking a bath, for such basic activities, the person should spend time. But all other times, this person should be doing nididhyasana. So that's what till he goes to bed, person will be doing every day until he dies also. Only Vedanta will be in his mind, not anything else. So in the case of a grahastha, we can give some concession. As often as possible he can think, especially because he has responsibilities of the family, the children, the wife, and the other things. So here in the society. So because he has those responsibilities, they are duties for him, he has to spend time on those. But apart from that, most of the time, he should be spending only on this thought. And with that mind, so that he is the yogi. So such a yogi, with that mind, niyata manasaha, with a controlled mind. Niyata manasaha means with such a controlled mind. So practicing meditation all the time, with a controlled mind, this meditator, this Nididhyasaka. Nididhyasaka means the person who is in Nididhyasanam now. What does he attain? Shantim Adigachati. Krishna says he attains Shanti. He gets peace of mind. Actually, Krishna puts it in a very known language for all of us. Because if Krishna puts it that he will reach moksha or in something like that, then people will think that moksha is something which I don't know. Because many people, they don't want moksha also. Why should I want moksha when everything is good here? Why should I want moksha? That is something after death. Why should I worry about it today? Right? Dead yesterday, unborn tomorrow. Why fret about them? Today be sweet. Today is good. I am happy. So that is what they will think. They may ask, what? Why moksha at all? Actually, many people openly say that they don't want moksha also. They say because they don't know what moksha is. We are telling scriptures say all these nice things about moksha, but I don't know that. So why should I really worry about attaining that moksha which I don't know what it is? So if Krishna says moksha here, then there may be many people who may not understand. So after all, it is a technical term. They may not understand what moksha is. So Krishna puts it in a common language. He says moksha means shanti. You will get mental peace. Mental peace everybody wants. Moksha, if you say, people may say, I don't want. But mental peace everybody wants. Then in this case, no one will say, I don't want shanti at all. I want mental peace. Everybody will say, even the worst criminal will ask for shanti only. So shantim adigachati. And this shanti alone is popularly known as jivan muktihi. As he is alive, he reaches moksha. That is called jivan mukti. So this shanti alone is called as jivan muktihi when he is alive. And this jivan mukti will lead to what? Nirvana parama. Nirvana. Nirvana here means videha mukti also. Parama means which will culminate. Which will also culminate in videha mukti. After this body is given out, after the body dies, this person doesn't take another body. That means he is not taking another janma at all. He is not going to take another birth, which is moksha. So he will get jivan mukti while alive. And he will also get videha mukti after this body dies. So that's what he will get. So one will attain jivan mukti whose culmination is videha mukti. Nirvanam eva paramam yasyaha sa nirvana parama shantihi. That's how it should be understood. So in short, this person will attain jivan mukti and videha mukti. That is the benefit of this knowledge, nididhyasa. Okay. What do we mean by jivan mukti and videha mukti? We have to ask perhaps this question in some detail. He says here, mat samstham. Mat samstham, which is nothing but being established in me. Krishna says, being established in me. So jivan mukti and videha mukti, which is established in me, which is in me. And here also in me has to be understood properly. What Krishna means by me. Krishna here means by me, not the Krishna which we normally know, but he means here Brahman. By me, he means Brahman. The Shanti Purnatvam in Brahman, that person will attain. In Brahman means what again? Which is the very nature of Brahman. It is not in Brahman means it is not anything different, which is the very nature of Brahman. One should not think that there is a Brahman and Shanti is sitting over him and that I am going to get. One should not think, imagine anything like that. He attains the peace of mind, which is the very nature of myself, the Brahman. That's what one should understand. So the idea is what? Shanti, which is in me, this person attains. This Nididhyasaka, that is what he will attain. And again, what does it mean? They will become one with me. Therefore, Shanti in me will become their Shanti. That's what Krishna says. So matsamstha means they will become one with me. So whatever shanti is in me will become their shanti also. I and them will be one. That is the idea here. So brahmani stitam shantim adigachati. Te maya eki bhavanti. So both, that is how we should understand. He is getting the same shanti as in me. Then we will continue with the next shloka 16.
నాత్యశ్నతస్తు యోగోస్తి నచైకాత్మమనశ్నతః నచాతి స్వప్నశీలస్య జాగ్రతో నైవ చార్జున.
నా విత్ ద ప్రీవియస్ శ్లోక ది అంతరంగ సాధన టాపిక్ ఇస్ ఓవర్. వి ఆల్రెడీ క్లాసిఫైడ్ ద టాపిక్స్ ఆఫ్ చాప్టర్ 6 ఇంటూ 4 డిఫరెంట్ టాపిక్స్ అండ్ దిస్ ఇస్ అంతరంగ సాధన టాపిక్ ఇస్ ఓవర్. ఆఫ్ ధ్యాన స్వరూపం అండ్ ఫలం వర్ హింటెడ్ ఆల్సో ఎర్లియర్. ఇట్ వాస్ దేవర్ ఓన్లీ హింటెడ్ నాట్ డిస్కస్డ్ ఇన్ ఎలాబరేట్ డీటెయిల్ బట్ దేవర్ హింటెడ్ అండ్ మోర్ అబౌట్ దెమ్ విల్ బి మెన్షన్ లేటర్ ఆల్సో. నౌ కృష్ణ అగైన్ కమ్స్ బ్యాక్ టు బహిరంగ సాధన. Actually, in the beginning itself, we mentioned, even though all these four topics are going to be covered in the sixth chapter, Krishna is not putting in any logical order. He is just giving them out. We have to only try to fit each shloka into whatever topic that they would fit them. The student has got a lot of homework actually, how to rearrange the sixth chapter to arrange into various topics as was classified by Krishna. It's a good exercise. So this is given the 16th and 17th shlokas on Bahiranga Sadhana. Here what Krishna emphasizes is avoiding excesses in any field. Krishna is emphasizing to avoid excesses in any field. So Ati Sarvatra Varjayet. That's what Krishna is telling. Even Amritam, nectar, will become a poison if it is in excess. That's what we have to understand. Even Amritam will become a poison in excess. In nothing, one should have excess. That's what Krishna is cautioning us. In nothing, one should try to have excess. And Krishna here quotes two cases. One is Ahara, the food, and the other is Nidra, sleep. So Krishna is telling how one should not have excess in food and also in sleep. One should avoid excesses in the case of both of them. So when we say excess, it is both in the positive sense and also in the negative sense. Excess in the positive sense and also in the negative sense. For example, if you take ahara, food. Excess in the positive sense means what? Eating too much. Eating like a glutton. Person who is eating so much. And in the negative sense means the person doesn't eat at all. He is fasting for several days together. There are some people who also fast for several days. So either eating too much or not eating at all. Both are to be avoided. Similarly, in the case of sleep, some people sleep day and night. All the time they are sleepy only. That is positive type side of sleep. And negatively also, many people do not sleep at all. They don't have sufficient sleep or do not sleep at all. So a healthy person requires at least 6-7 hours of sleep every day. That is, you know, that's what is recommended generally. So that is what Krishna says here. Atyashnataha yogaha nasti. For a person who eats too much, atyashnataha, too much, meditation is not possible. Here yoga means meditation. For a person who eats too much, meditation is not possible. Then because the person, you know, he will feel sleepy all the time. For example, his central portion of the body, the Madhya Pradesh, that will be very active. He eats so much. But maybe the top portion, the Uttar Pradesh, will be perhaps dull all the time. So, ekantam anashnataha yogaha nasti. The one who does not eat at all, totally, also cannot meditate. So, a person anashnataha, the one who does not eat also. So, his body will become tired and he will not be able to meditate properly also. So, without food, mind cannot work also. Eyes cannot see properly, ears cannot hear properly. So without food, if all these organs also will not work. So both of them don't have yoga. The person who eats more and the person who doesn't eat at all, both of them do not have yoga. Similarly, ati swapnashilasya na yogaha asti. The one who sleeps too much, ati swapnashilasya. The one who sleeps too much, he cannot practice meditation also. Yogaha nasti. For him, he also cannot practice meditation. Here, swapna. Swapna means sleeping and not dreaming. We have to understand. Swapna means normally we think it is dreaming, but it is sleeping. So similarly, jagrataha. The one who is all the time awake. There are some people who are all the time awake. They never sleep. They cannot also have yoga at all. Therefore, one should avoid excessive sleep and waking also. One should be having moderate sleep and moderate waking. Moderation, actually that Krishna is going to emphasize in the next shloka. Here he only mentions two things, but we have to add all other things also along with that. We have to add speaking also, for example. All the time talking is also not good. Or somebody observing Maunam for 15-20 days together, that is also not good. So we have to extend this thing to a lot of other things which we do day to day. We have to have moderation in all of them. We will read Sloka 17.
Yukta hara vikarasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta swapnavabodhasya yogo bhavati dukkha.
Here Krishna puts the same idea in a positive way in this shloka. In the previous shloka, he said one should avoid excess. Here he says, instead of saying avoid excess, here he says one should be moderate. One should moderate all these items, food, sleep and all those things, one should be moderated. Only the language is different. Yuktaha. Yuktaha means one who is yuktaha, who is moderate. Ahara viharasya, in ahara. Ahara is food, in food. So earlier he said excess in food. Now he is telling moderation in food. Actually, we talked about this in the fourth chapter itself. When various sadhanas were mentioned in the form of yajnas, dravya yajna, tapo yajna, yoga yajna, in that context, there was a verse, apare niyataharaha pranan praneshu jukvati. There we had discussed about what is niyama in ahara, in food, moderation in food. The same idea is given here, ahara niyama, moderation in food. What is the essence? Actually, if you remember that shloka, purayet, actually there is in Shastra, they normally give a shloka, a very beautiful shloka. Purayet ashanena ardham. Trutiyam udakenatu. Vayoho sancharanarthaya chaturtham avaseshayet. This is what, that's a beautiful shloka. Two quarters of the stomach, that should be filled with food, solid food. Two quarters, that is half the stomach should be filled with solid food. And one quarter should be filled with water. And the last quarter should be left empty. Eating up to the nose is never allowed at all. Even our Shastras don't say. Actually, if you really see the way they practice eating food conventionally, they always sit on the floor and eat. And when you sit on the floor and eat, you have to bend down to take food. And if the stomach is full, you cannot bend down. So only when the stomach is half full, you will be able to bend down comfortably and take food. But if you sit on a table or if you stand and eat, you will never know when the stomach is full almost till they come all the way up to the throat. As somebody used to tell, if he opens the mouth, a crow can come and pick on the food that is inside the mouth. It can come up to the brim. One should not eat that much. So here it says, half the stomach only filled with solid food, other one quarter for water, other quarter should be empty. What is the idea? Idea is, I should not feel discomfort after eating. I should not feel discomfort after eating. I must be able to work after eating, if necessary. Actually, one work is not prescribed immediately after eating food, but one should be able to eat if that is necessary. Immediately after working, the rule is we should not work. At least 10-15 minutes, we should relax. That is generally it is told. But if necessary, we should be able to work. That must be the condition of eating. I should feel that I have no hunger, not that I have eaten. You know, having the feeling that I have no hunger is different from I have eaten. That means we are going to remember that for a long time, that I have eaten a lot of food. This is called yukta aharatvam. And similarly, viharaha. Viharaha here refers to recreation. Shankaracharya, he says, physical movement, that must be there. One should not be just sitting quiet, there should be some physical movement. So it is padakrama. One has to walk a little bit, one has to move around, you know, that kind of thing. Because if you are taking the energy within, we should spend that energy also. Otherwise, all this food becomes extra fat, cholesterol, sugar, all those issues will come that all we are all very familiar with. So the very same food begins to eat us. What we are eating, that food will start eating us. So adhyatecha bhutani, Upanishad says, the very same food becomes our enemy. Undigested food is enemy. Digested food is friend. These are all common things in life. So food by itself is neither enemy nor friend. If it is undigested, it becomes enemy. If it is digested, it is a friend. So Krishna says, viharaha, right amount of recreation, right amount of exercise one should do. And yukta cheshtaha. Cheshtaha refers to activity. In the case of recreation, there is activity. It is general movement. Recreation is general movement without any particular purpose. Whereas cheshtaha refers to particular activity, karma. Whatever action it is, a particular activity. For example, walking as a recreation is different from walking to go to a particular place. We have a particular place in mind. With that goal, we walk to that place. That is cheshtaha. Whereas just walking around for the sake of giving activity to the legs and the body, that is not cheshtaha. That is actually vihara. So that is the difference between vihara and cheshta. So purposeful activity. In that also, there must be moderation. There also, it's a purposeful activity. Let me do it all the time. One should not do excess in that. So however important the position may be, person may be the greatest responsibility at work. He may be the biggest officer at work. Whatever that might be, however much the responsibility one should always have. I must know that beyond certain amount of work, I should not overdo. That is something which everybody has to remind oneself. Because many times we tend to become workaholics. Workaholism is really slave to work. So morning till night goes on working. Person does not know how to stop working at all. If he doesn't work, he feels that his life is very boring for him. So such people will always suffer if there is one holiday. If there is a holiday, if they cannot go to work, they'll be really suffering. After retirement, we don't know what they will do. It's very difficult for them. So we should learn to sit quiet also, not doing anything, including watching TV. No, this is time for myself. I am going to be with myself, period. I am not going to engage myself in any conversation, no phone calls, no TV, nothing. So yukta cheshtaha, one who is moderate with his activities also. Similarly, yukta swapnaha, yukta swapnashilasya, one who is moderate in sleeping. Swapna refers to sleeping, as I told earlier, here also. And avabodaha, avabodaha means waking up. One who is moderate in waking up also should not be always awake. He should take enough amount of rest. Whatever the body requires, he should give. That much rest has to be given. And for such a person, yogaha dukkaha bhavati. Dukkaha is a beautiful usage here. Yoga will become successful for that person. That means what? Dukkaha. Dukkham is sorrow. Dukkaha means destroying of sorrow. For this person, sorrow will be destroyed. That means what? He will gain shanti. He will gain peace. So if these conditions are not maintained, meditation can become a headache also for such a person. We are talking about, again, Vedantic meditation, understand that. So it may become a headache also for such a person. Because if a person has too much of activity, then too many plans and too many schemes he may have, too many programs, then his mind will not allow him to sit quiet at all and meditate. Because all the time he is going to be thinking of this project or that project. It becomes a suppression if he wants to control that. Then he gets worked within. He may become angry. He may get agitated. All those things, reactions will happen to this person if he wants to suppress all those things. So he may overburst because he has got too much in his mind. And also the mind is not allowed to do anything which will be relaxing for him. It will become even a burden for such a person. It is like people trying to do morning puja. There are a lot of people, they think morning puja has to be done. I have to do the morning puja. That's a good practice. But morning puja doing should be as an enjoyment. It should not become a burden. oh, I have to finish this and go. So today is late. If I don't finish it, what will happen? The gods may be angry with me. I may get something bad. All those things people imagine. And because of that, this doing even a puja, a prayer, becomes a burden for some people. That should not be like that at all. It should be done for the sake of enjoyment. Puja should not be a burden. Actually, that's why even the atheists, they will criticize these people. They don't have this complex or guilt at all because they don't do puja or anything. They don't have any such belief. They will criticize these people who are doing such pujas with all this anxiety and tension. They will even criticize them. Because when a person has got too much in mind, even puja, prayers, they even become obstacles to them. So for some people, yogaha dukkaha bhavati. That yoga, it leads to success of all dukkhas, all the sorrows. They are all removed, they are all destroyed for such kind of people. Shloka 18, we will read.
Yada viniyatam chittam atman yeva vatishtate nispruha sarvakamebhyah yukta ityuchyate tada.
Actually, in slokas 18 and 19, Krishna now brings about the topic of Dhyana Swarupam again. We told earlier he hinted on this topic. Now he is bringing the topic of Dhyana Swarupam again. What is the actual Dhyanam? That is what is said here. Yada chittam atmani avatishtate. Yada chittam atmani avatishtate. When the mind gets established in the Atman. When the mind gets established in the Atman, avatishtate means abides, established in the Atman, when the mind is established in the Atman. And what type of mind? Krishna says, viniyatam chittam. Viniyatam chittam means visheshena niyatam chittam. Viniyatam means visheshena niyatam chittam. Mind which has been restrained, a mind which has been controlled, which has been withdrawn from all other external activities. Because that is the first stage, as we said earlier, that when you want to send the water to a particular place, the river is flowing, we want to send the water to a particular place. River by itself will not go to that particular place. We build a dam and direct the river to the place where we want that to go. That's what people do to manage the water flow. We don't want the river to go to unwanted directions at all. Similarly, if the mind has to settle in Atma, mind has to only think about Atma, the mind has to be withdrawn from Anatma. Mind has to get rid of the body-mind complex at all, thoughts centered on them. It has to get rid of them. That is why Krishna says, viniyatam chittam. And the mind which is steered away from Anatma, the body-mind complex, that should get settled in Atma. So this makes it very, very clear to us that the meditation is Atma Dhyanam. It is Nididhyasanam. That is, the meditation is Nididhyasanam, because in one of the previous slokas, what Krishna said, one should be Yukta Asita Matparaha. That's what Krishna said earlier. In meditation, one should think of me. That's what he said earlier. Yukta Asita Matparaha, he should think of me. And what does he mean by me there at that time? We said the meaning of me is given here in this sloka. Meditation on Krishna does not mean Krishna's rupam, Krishna's form, whatever form he is in. That is not meant here as Devaki's son or Radha Krishna, Gopala Krishna. It is not that Krishna. But me here means Atma, the very Atma. So Krishna himself, he clarifies it here. I don't want you to meditate on any Atnama Rupa or physical body. I don't want you to meditate on any Namarupa part of it, any physical body. I want you to think of the Atma, which is myself. I want you to think of the Atma. So, sixth chapter is Nididhyasanam, and it is not Saguna Krishna Dhyanam. We have to understand that. In Saguna Dhyanam only, you can think of Krishna or Rama in a particular form of your Ishta Devata. That is all fine in Upasana. Whereas here in Nididhyasanam, we are not talking about any of those things here. But that does not mean that they should not be done. One can still do that, no problem at all. For a non-Vedantic student, a person who has not come to Vedanta at all, the one who has not listened to Vedanta, for him saguna upasana, saguna Krishna dhyanam will be useful for what? For chitta ekagrata, for focusing the mind, for chitta naishchalyam. For him that will be very useful. For such a person there is no problem at all. But after Vedantic study, after Vedantic shravanam, the dhyanam does not involve saguna vastu at all. It will not think about any lord or any form with all attributes and gunas, and it will have no Veda at all. So after Vedanta, the dhyanam should be nirguna dhyanam or abheda dhyanam. That should be the motive here. So that means, and actually Krishna now is trying to give another point also that we should understand. When the mind gets established in Atma, what does it really mean? We have to understand that also clearly. When the mind is established in Atma means what? Do we mean that the mind will slowly come down and, you know, and settle on the Atma that is sitting somewhere else, and Atma is deep sitting down in us, and gradually the mind will go and settle on that Atma? No. Because Krishna says mind is established in the Atma. What do we really mean by being established in Atma? Is it just a language? We should understand the meaning here, or what is deep inside that. Does it mean contacting the Atma? These are all questions people might have. All these meanings will not fit in, because we should remember that Atma is not a thing down which you are going to contact. It is not something like that. In fact, nothing need to be established in Atma at all, because everything is already in Atma only. We have to understand that clearly. Everything is already in Atma only. Mind cannot go and touch or be in that at all. It is actually Jagat Adhishtanam. It is the very support of the entire Jagat, entire universe. Nothing can go beyond Atma. So mind is ever established in Atma alone. No question of getting established. It is ever established. Only I don't understand. Then what do we really mean by being established? If we ask, we are talking about the direction of our thoughts. Whatever thoughts we have, we are really trying to find out the direction of our thoughts. When the thought is extrovert, we say the mind is away. When the thought is extrovert, we say the mind is away. It is only an expression. When it is centered on the self, we say the mind is established in the self. So when the thoughts are centered on this, we say the mind is established in the self. For example, when we are dreaming, what happens? We don't get away from our room at all. We are sleeping in our own bed, in our own home. Still, we feel that we have gone out of the room. We have gone to so many places. We flew a plane. We did so many things during the sleep, because our thoughts are centered on some other world altogether, the dream world. But when thoughts are away, we also feel that we are away. That's what we think. And when the dream thoughts are gone, when we wake up, when they are no more centered on the dream world, when they come back to ourselves, we think we are back home, we are in the bed, and we think about it as it were. That's what we think all the time we have been here. In fact, we understand, I was all the time, I'm at home only in my own comfort. If mind is away from Atma, mind will become inert actually. If the mind has to be away from Atma, mind will become inert. It is based in consciousness, which is Atma. That is why it is not becoming inert. Every thought is associated with Atma alone. Whatever thought we have, they are all associated with Atma alone. But when one attention is centered in Atma, it looks as if it is, when attention is centered on Anatma, it appears as if it is away. That's what it appears as though. When our attention is fixed on Chaitanyam, the Brahman, we feel we are established in Atma. So being established in Atma means turning our attention from Nama Rupa to Chaitanyam. Our attention should be directed away from Nama Rupas, the forms and the names and the functions. From all of them, it should be directed towards Atma, towards Chaitanya. So Atmanyevava Tishtate. That means when I recognize the Chaitanyam in and through every thought, I should recognize the presence of Chaitanyam in and through every thought and understand that Chaitanyam is myself. I am ever established in that Atma. That is what I should understand. The moment I forget the Chaitanya and get involved in all Namarupas of Anatma. Namarupas of Anatma means what? All these relations, husband, wife, children, officer, brother, home, our own body. When we have all those thoughts, we are away from Atma. When thoughts are centered on those things, we are away from Atma. So shift the attention, then we will get established in Atma. And what is the distance between from, if you really take a wave and water, what is the distance between wave and water? How many miles it is? None. Similarly, the travel from Anatma to Atma is just only shifting attention. This alone is called Atma Nishtha. Established in Atman means this. And consequently, what happens? Sarva Kamebhyaha Nispriha. When one becomes free from all kamas, all desires, that also will be a natural consequence for this person. Because when I am established in Namarupa, I will feel the limitation. And when I feel limitation, I cannot avoid kama. Because I feel limited. When I feel limited, I want to gain Purnatvam. I want to gain more. So I will always naturally have desire. So wave is limited. When I am absorbed in water, there is no limitation at all. When I am absorbed in the wave, then only I think it's a small wave, it is a big wave, it's a wider wave. All those things, differences come. All those limitations come only when I concentrate on the wave. Whereas if it is water, it is water, water, water everywhere. Similarly, when I turn my attention from Namarupa to Chaitanyam, all the names and forms to Chaitanyam, I don't see any limitation in me at all. I am not at all a limited individual. I have nothing to desire. So at once I become Aham Nispruhahasmi. I am free from all spruhas. Spruhas here means kamas. Kamas, desires. So Aham Purna Chaitanya Swarupaha Asmi. That is what I will think. Previously what? Aham Parichinna Dehaha Asmi. I am a limited body. That's what I was thinking earlier. So from Aham Parichinna Dehaha Asmi, I have to shift the attention to Aham Purna Chaitanya Swarupaha Asmi. That is what I am. This is called the meditation. This is Nididhyasanam. This is the kind of meditation we are talking about. This is Vedantic meditation. So Krishna says, Tada, at that moment alone, when I see myself as Purna Chaitanyam, that means what? I do have thoughts at the time of meditation, that is true, but it is not a thoughtless stage, but all those thoughts are centered on Atma only. So Atmani Avasthanam means when the mind entertains all kinds of thoughts of the Atma, when the thoughts are centered in Atma, Aham Purnosmi, Aham Triptosmi, Aham Asangosmi, Aham Tushtosmi, all those thoughts are all there. I may have different thoughts, but all those thoughts are only in this direction. They are not in anything else, any other direction at all. We call it as Atma Dhyanam or Vedantic meditation. Tada, at that time, Yukta Ityuchyate, the person is called Yukta Purushaha. He is called the Yukta Purushaha, an accomplished meditator. Literally, Yuktaha means what? Integrated. A person who is self-controlled, with self-control. He is called the man of self-control. He is called the meditator, worth the name of meditator. That is what this person is called. Let us read Sloka 19. Yatha dipo nivatastaha nengate sopa masmrita yogino yata chittasya yunjato yoga matmanaha. Here also, a person has to practice this for some time and there will be distractions. Because whenever a person tries to practice this, there will be always distraction. He will have Atma Chintanam about himself. But in between, he is bound to be distracted by Anatma Chintanam also. So he is trying to always focus his mind on Atma Chintanam about himself, about the self, about the Chaitanyam Brahman. But Anatma Chintanam automatically will come with the body. When it is Atma Chintanam, we call it what? Sajatiya Vrittihi. It's a technical term. When it is Atma Chintanam, all thoughts are centered on Atma, then we call it Sajatiya Vritti, thought in the direction of the object of meditation with this Atman. For example, in Saguna Upasana, suppose I do Krishna Dhyanam, I want to meditate upon Krishna. I am imagining the form of Lord Krishna from head, hands, feet, all that thing. You know, I can imagine, there are all these Dhyana Shlokas. The Dhyana Shlokas describe the form of Krishna. So each thought is different because the thought of head is not the same as the thought of hands, the thought of feet, right? So even though they are different, all of them are centered on the object of meditation, namely Krishna. Suddenly, I don't think of anything else. I don't think of any other office or kitchen or food or anything else. I am thinking only of Krishna. So it is called Sajatiya Vrittihi. All of them belong to the Dhyaya Jati. Whatever Dhyayam is, Krishna, object of meditation. And if it is distracted by any other thought, no connection with Krishna at all, then it becomes what? Then it is called Vijatiya Vritti. So Sajatiya Vritti and Vijatiya Vritti. Vritti means thought. Every meditator will be initially disturbed by Vijatiya Vritti, naturally. Krishna, too, because he is still in the initial stages, has not got enough abhyasa or training, practice. So when you think of Krishna, you think of Krishna to butter, and from butter to some movie. People immediately think of all those things. And after some days, this Vijatiya disturbance won't be there at all by proper practice. It will just go away. So Sajatiya will be uniform. So Sajatiya Vritti will be the uniform drishti. That will be alone there after some time, after proper abhyasa. So these are the two stages now. So the initial stage is what? Is called the Dhyanam, which is at the level of attempt. One tries to attempt to do that. The later stage is called Samadhi. Samadhi, which is at the level of accomplishment. So we know both the words, Dhyanam and Samadhi. Dhyanam is at the attempt level. And Samadhi is at the accomplishment level. It is like a cyclist. He rides, you know, he first gets onto the cycle, he falls, again gets on, he falls, keeps on trying that many times, and finally he is able to drive properly. Or a child walking, a child also, when the child walks, same thing also, tries to get up, walk, fall. Same way here also. See, also mind also. So Dhyanam is what? Vichidya, vichidya, sajatiya vrittihi. Breaking and breaking. Mind again breaks and breaks and thought flows. And finally thought flows become streamlined. Actually in the 19th sloka, Krishna is talking about the Samadhi, the culmination of Dhyanam. So the culmination of Dhyanam is Samadhi. In English, actually we can call Samadhi as absorption. Absorption. In this context, the absorption is in what? In the Atman, in the Chaitanyam, not in the body. In Saguna Dhyanam, it is Saguna Ishvara, Ishvara with all attributes and gunas. Absorption is possible in any field, whether it is Saguna field or Nirguna field, it is possible in both the fields. Actually, we all had this excellent ability when we were children, to be honest. We all had this excellent ability we had. And because of at that time, why they were possible? No worry. As a child, worries were not there at all. And in the name of progress, we lost all those capacity over a period of time. So we don't think of Samadhi at all. We think Samadhi as a very, very mysterious thing. We were totally absorbed in things like that when we were all children. But now getting absorbed totally into something becomes very, very difficult. So we think that may be a mysterious experience. It is actually a faculty we all had and we all have also now. It is only absorption in any field, and in Nididhyasanam, it is absorption in what? In Aham Brahma Asmi. That is the only thought that I should be absorbed in. And there also, the thought need not be one thought. That also we should be clear. It need not be one thought, but they should be similar. They should be related thoughts. Aham Brahma Asmi is one thought. And if we change the vritti to Aham Purnosmi, instead of thinking Aham Brahma Asmi, I can change the thought to Aham Purnosmi. Aham, I am ever full. I don't lack anything. I have everything. Aham Purnosmi. Then also it is Atma Vishaya only. Aham Triptosmi is also Atma Vishaya only. So all those things, Tushtosmi, Triptosmi, Brahma Asmi, they are all related thoughts, only same thoughts. That is why Adi Shankaracharya beautifully he sings, Name Dvesha Ragav, Name Lobha Mohav, Madonaiva Menaiva Matsarya Bhavaha, Na Dharmo Na Charto Na Kamo Na Mokshaha, Chidananda Rupaha, Shivoham, Shivoham. That is me. So that is the knowledge I should have all the time. So these are all different thoughts. All right. But all of them are centered on only one idea. Aham Purna Atma Asmi. So they all come under Sajatiya Vritti. They are all similar thoughts. If suddenly a thought comes that I am father. When you are thinking all this, suddenly a thought comes, I am father, I am husband, I am officer, I am servant. Then it is Vijatiya Vritti. So here this absorption is mentioned in this shloka, shloka number 19. And Krishna gives here an example of a steady flame of lamp. There is a lamp and the steady flame of the lamp, Krishna is giving it as an example. The flame is compared to the mind of the meditator, the person who is in Nididhyasana. His mind is compared to the flame. And we can imagine lamp is the body and the flame is the mind. And we also can imagine that there are two types of lamps, one kept outside and another one kept within a glass container or a glass cage. What is the difference between these two? The flame of the lamp kept outside will be violently moving. It will be flickering. It will never be steady. It will be disturbed by the wind all the time. But when the lamp is protected by the glass cage, when it is brought inside, when it is protected by the glass cage, the flame will be steady because there is no disturbance from the wind at all. It may be so steady that we may even feel that the flame is stationary like a picture. It may be so steady. In the same way, when the mind is outside, extrovert, flickers and wavers, you know, they will all move from object to object, worry to worry, all those things can happen. But the meditator's mind is like a lamp kept in a glass cage. A person who is doing Nididhyasanam, his thoughts, his mind is like a lamp kept in the flame in a glass cage. And what is the glass cage for the meditator? For the glass cage for the meditator is his own vairagya, his dispassionate attitude. You know, we told in the beginning, what are the fourfold qualifications needed for a person to seek to go to Vedanta? We should be Vivekaha, Vairagya, Shamadhi, Shatka Sampatti, Mumukshutvam. So all these four are required for a person to become an adhikari or eligible to pursue Jnana Yoga. We already mentioned that earlier. So this person already is in that level. He is already in that level. So he's the glass cage here. For the meditator is his own vairagya. And when vairagya cage is there to protect from the flame from all the winds, his mind from all the winds, then the mind becomes a steady mind, a focused mind, a steady mind. Attachment to anything leads to worry. If worry is there, we cannot think of Atman at all because worry and Atman are different. So Krishna says, mind of the meditator is like a flame kept in a breezeless place. That is the analogy he gives here. The mind of the meditator is like a flame kept in a breezeless place. Nivatastaha deepaha, a lamp which is placed in a breezeless place. Actually, nivatastaha, vataha means breeze. Nivata means breezeless. Staha means a place, present. So, na ingate, does not flicker. Does not shake, does not wave, move about. So, sa upama smritha. This example is given. For whom? Yoginaha. For a yogi. So, the example of lamp is given for a meditator and yogi. And what type of yogi he is? Yata chittasya. That meditator who has control the mind. And controlling the mind means what again? We have to understand properly. Who has avoided vijatiya vritti. Anatma vritti, samsari vritti. See, this person has avoided all those kinds of thoughts which has been binding him. So this is an example for a yogi who has controlled the mind and atmanaha yogam yunjata. who is practicing meditation on the self, Atmanaha. He is meditating on the self. Yunjataha Yogam, practicing meditation. So Atmanaha, meditation on the self, the one who is entertaining only Sajatiya Vritti. He does not entertain any Vijatiya Vritti at all. He doesn't think about anything else. He is thinking only about Atma. So Yata Chittasya means what? The one who avoids Vijatiya Vritti, Atmanaha Yogam Yunjataha. The one who entertains Sajatiya Vritti, for such a person, the lamp is given here as an example. And this example also is not Krishna's example, because Krishna says that this is the example given. This is the example given, he says. This is not, he says, this example I give. So already in the tradition, this example is already there. That's what it means. This example has been there in the tradition always. I am giving this example to you now. So lamp is used actually for many things. Krishna is using that lamp example for this situation here. Sloka 20. We will read.
Yatro paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya. Yatra chaivatmanatmanam pashyannatmani tushyati.
Actually, from the 20th shloka onwards up to the 23rd shloka, the topic is going to be dhyana palam, the benefit of this dhyanam, this nididhyasanam, this topic. Actually, we have now, what is the benefit of Vedantic meditation? Nididhyasana palam kim? If you ask this question, we have often seen that the palam is generally is given as what? Jivan mukti. The palam of jnanam or nididhyasanam here is jivan mukti. And in this chapter, in this context, Krishna calls jivan mukti itself as a yoga. As we mentioned, yoga takes different meanings based on the context. And in this context, in this place, Krishna takes jivan mukti itself as yoga. This is also a different type of usage actually, because normally yoga means a sadhana, karma yoga, jnana yoga, they are all sadhanas. But here, jivan mukti itself is taken as yoga. So it is not used in the sense of a path or means, but as an end in itself. Because jivan mukti is the end. So as an end, so jivan mukti itself is called yoga. So yoga can mean the means also as sadhana, and the end also the sadhyam. So it can be either sadhana or sadhyam, both, depending on the context. So similar idea we have seen earlier also. A sadhaga also is called a yogi, and a siddha purushaha also was called a yogi. We already saw that earlier. So according to the context alone, we should understand whether it is sadhaka or siddha. And in the same way, yoga has also two meanings, sadhana or sadhya. Here in this case, it is sadhya itself. Yoga is used in the sense of sadhyam, the destination. So the benefit of nididhyasanam is yoga. Nididhyasanam is yoga to teach, to reach the goal. What is the goal? Jivan mukti is the goal. So if you say jivan mukti is the goal, is the palam, then many people may not be attracted because it is unknown, like moksha. Moksha is not known to many people, because we scriptures say moksha. Who has seen a moksha and come and describe what it is? So people may not know. So same here also in jivan mukti, if Krishna uses the term jivan mukti, people may not know what it is. So Krishna defines jivan mukti in different ways in these shlokas actually. Definition of jivan mukti is given from different angles. Krishna tries to give the definition of jivan mukti from various angles. And we get actually seven definitions in these four shlokas. Jivan mukti is defined from seven different angles in these four shlokas. Each shloka having two definitions. For example, in shloka 20, there are two definitions. 21, there are two. 22, there are two. 23, there is one. So total seven definitions. And what is the first definition now? Yatra uparamate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya. That is the first definition here. The essence of this definition is what? That jivan mukti is that in which a person's mind is tranquil. Jivan mukti is the one in which a person's mind is tranquil. Chitta uparamaha eva jivan muktihi. The mind is calm, mind is quiet, mind is tranquil, mind is undisturbed. And how did this person accomplish that? How did he become with a person with such a tranquil mind? Not that, you know, it is he got some special factor or anything. Yoga sevaya niruddham chittam. It became tranquil as controlled by, when it is controlled by yoga sevaya, the practice of meditation. When the person does practice of meditation, then he gets this mind controlled. Niruddham. Niruddham means controlled or disciplined. The mind is controlled or disciplined. So Jivan Mukti is that in which the mind which is disciplined through meditation, and such a person becomes tranquil. Mind becomes tranquil. So it is tranquil. By practicing meditation, he is tranquilizing the mind. That is, his will is involved. His will is involved in doing that. That is the difference between meditation and Jivan Mukti. In meditation, he quietens the mind. In meditation, he quietens the mind. He uses his will. As a result of this, tranquility has become his very nature. For this person, tranquility has become his very nature. A Jivan Mukta does not try to quieten his mind at all. A Jivan Mukta, he doesn't have to try to quieten the mind. It is already quiet. It is his very nature. He doesn't have to attempt or do any sadhana to quieten the mind. Whereas for the meditator, quietening the mind, because he has the disturbances caused by viparita bhavana. All these habitual tendencies of I am a limited person, I am the body, I am so and so, all those, these habitual tendencies, even though he has come to Nididhyasanam, after Vedantic Shravanam and Mananam, Nididhyasanam, even at this stage, some of those habitual tendencies don't go away that easily. For all of us, it is there all the time. For this person who is a Vedantian, even for this person, that they don't go all the that easily, because they are all viparita bhavana, they exist. So tranquility of mind, but we should not, we should add here that natural tranquility of mind and spontaneous tranquility of mind, you know how it is for this person. Chittam is uparata swabhavam. So this is yoga sevaya niruddham chittam uparamate. In the second line, actually, that's what he says. The second definition Krishna gives. So in this first definition, the mind is disciplined. This is the Jivan Mukta is a person for whom mind is tranquil by abhyasa. This person has achieved that. And the second definition is Atmani Atmanam Atmana Pashyati. One recognizes the self in himself through one's mind. Atmani Atmanam Atmana Pashyati. Atmanam Pashyati recognizes the self. How? Atmana Pashyati, through the mind. And where does he recognize? Atmani Pashyati. He recognizes it in himself, in his own Antakarana Atma, mind. So Atmani Atmanam Atmana Pashyati. But we should understand here what type of Antakaranam it is. That what's the inner equipment? Antakaranam is inner equipment. Shuddha Antakaranam. Shuddha Antakaranena. With the mind which is disciplined. Shuddha Antakaranena means the mind that is disciplined, which has gone through Shravanam and Mananam. So Shastra Acharya Samskrita Antakaranena Pashyati. With a mind which has been disciplined through the teaching of Vedanta, by the Shastras, by the teacher. And where does he recognize the Atma? In the Antakaranam itself, because for me, Chaitanyam is available in my Antakarana alone. How do I recognize Chaitanyam in me? Through my Antakarana alone. For a person, Chaitanyam can be recognized in one's Antakarana only, not anywhere else. I can never realize the Chaitanyam in somebody else's Antakarana. I have to recognize Chaitanyam in my own Antakarana only. That is why I am not able to experience somebody else's pain. If I can experience somebody else's thing, then I should be able to experience his pain also. I don't. I can only sympathize with the other's problems, or I can only enjoy with other's joy. I cannot say it is my own joy or my own pain. That pain is experienceable by the other person alone, his pain only he has to experience, I cannot experience myself. Thus, for everyone, Chaitanyam obtains in his or her own antakarana. For Atmani Pashyati, Atmana Pashyati. So Atmani and Atmana, they refer to the mind. Here Atma is not Sachidananda Atma, it is referred to the mind. But Atmanam refers to self. So in the same construction of the words, there are three Atmas. Atmani Pashyati and Atmana Pashyati refers to mind, and the Atmanam refers to the self. So in these three Atma words, two refer to the mind and one refer to the self. And seeing this, what this person feels? Atmani Tushyati. Atmani, which can be repeated twice actually, rejoices in himself. He feels happy within himself, with himself. Therefore, the second definition is Atma Darshanam. Recognizing oneself is Jivan Mukti. So the second definition of Jivan Mukti is what? Recognizing oneself is Jivan Mukti. Not losing sight of oneself. And what is the difference in this knowledge? It's a uniqueness. Normally, one recognizes other things through some instrument. We have to recognize something else. We use some ears, eyes, all those things we use. So some pramanam is necessary. Normally, knowledge is what? Pramanena pashyati. Any knowledge that we give, we see a pramana. We have a pramana. But in this case, no pramanam is necessary at all. No instrument is necessary at all to recognize myself. I don't need an instrument. And that is why atmanam, atmanam, atmani pashyati. So knower also oneself. What is known also oneself. So that is the, and the instrument also is oneself. That is this peculiarity, uniqueness. This person does not require any other pramanam. This is the uniqueness of self-knowledge. In self-knowledge, person does not require any other pramanam at all. In all other things, then this triputi will be there. Triputi means what? This trifold things. The upasaka, upasyam, upasana. These are the three things. They are always there. Triputi is there in all other things. Whereas that means the subject, the object and the instrument, that division is there in all other things. But here, that division is not there. So, Atma Darshanam is the second definition. So, by Jivan Mukti, we have the second definition here is Atma Darshanam. Then, what is the third definition? The third and the fourth definitions are going to be given in the next shloka, which we will see next week. Yo Vedadau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakritilinasya Yaparasa Maheshwaraha Sri Krishna Arpanamastu. Actually, people, when they have questions, they can either perhaps write the question, or if you are able to access your system, and if the hand is raised by contacting me, then I can unmute you and we can give the question answers also there. Or if you want to write to me, you can write to me and then I can try to answer it in the next class. Whatever question was raised, I will answer it in the next class also, if that is going to work for people. So I will announce the schedule. Actually, last week we had the class at 3 o'clock. Today I had 2 o'clock because I have some other engagement. I hope next week also I may be able to keep the same time, but you will be informed by the webinar regarding what time the class will start. Now I am going to sign off. Thank you.